Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shear, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sowetita Sun, along with producer Ray Allen. Bill is off this week, enjoying Canada. You can follow his fun on his Facebook page. Just type in Bill Buckmaster and you'll find it. Same with Twitter. I'm sure he's going to be sharing some photos and stories all week, and we're glad that he is getting a break. Today is Monday, August 29th, 2016, and it's a big week with the primary election just a day away, though I suspect a majority of you have already voted early. It's going to be fun watching the returns tomorrow night. Those are always long days in the newspaper industry. Bill is here live each weekday from noon to 1 p.m. on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. We live stream the show at KVOI.com, and you can get podcasts and archives of all the shows at BuckmasterShow.com. Bill partners with several local media outlets, including TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, TucsonLifestyle.com, the Green Valley News, and the Sowetita Sun, and all of them have links to the Buckmaster Show on their homepages. We get the week started with the Monday political face-off featuring the big issues on the political scene, and then at half past the hour, we're going to be talking to Joseph Garcia with the Morrison Institute for Public Policy in Phoenix to get their take on this election season, which, by my calculation, still has a couple more months after the primary as we march our way to November. It's now time for the Monday political face-off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's, specializing in custom-framed mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and on Facebook and at moesgallery.com. We welcome to the show Vince Robago, a longtime Democrat activist, head of the Hispanic Caucus for Pima County Democrats. Vince, how are you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for having me here.
Great to have you. And John Munger, Tucson attorney, former head of the Arizona Board of Regents. John, how are you doing?
Another day in paradise.
It sure is. And you got some family in town you're enjoying.
I do. It's wonderful. We're having a great day, great weekend.
Very good. Lots to do in Tucson. And at well, I'm probably lying to myself, but I want to say it's cooling off.
It is.
Just a little bit.
It's delightful.
Just a little bit.
So it was four degrees cooler up in Phoenix yesterday than it normally is. Yeah. So they were talking about that. I just had to chuckle because it's 100 degrees today, which is 4 degrees cooler than usual.
That's actually not bad for Phoenix. So, yeah, we're slightly cooler down in Sowetita, and actually we feel it. So we love it. If you'd like to join the discussion, you can call the KVOI live line at 790-2040. We'd love to hear from you. John, we're going to go ahead and start with you. Last week on the show, Bruce Ash said Donald Trump's campaign would likely be a template for both parties to follow in the future. Would you agree with that? And how would you, if so, what is that template?
Well, I think Bruce had a good point. I think that with the Donald Trump campaign, there's a realignment of voting blocks going on. I mean, that's at least Trump's calculation. There have been a lot of voters out there that have been taken for granted by, in my opinion, the Democrats. The black vote, the Hispanic vote, to a lesser extent. The union blue-collar voters. And I think that Trump is going for those voters. We've seen a lot of that lately where he's trying to keep the voters that have historically voted Republican. He's having pretty good success with that. He's lost some, but he's going for what he hopes will be a larger block of voters who have traditionally voted Democrat, and he's doing that on the basis that he believes those voters have not been treated correctly by the Democrat Party. I'm sure Vince will disagree with that, but that's the right or wrong. That's his triangulation, and I think that those voters have felt left out for years, and both parties will be making bigger efforts to go after them.
Vince, you think we're seeing a realignment of any type?
I don't think we're seeing a realignment of any type. I think there are issues that have long been ignored. You know, the American working class, there have been sort of moneyed interests that have sort of gotten a stranglehold on Congress. Things aren't getting done. So there are certainly issues, and to the extent both candidates are reaching out to affected voting blocks and maybe expressing things differently, trying to reach different issues and talk about those issues. That may be true, but I don't see any realignment. And to the extent we're talking about Trump, any sort of a template, I couldn't disagree more with John. Trump is a one of a kind, celebrity reality TV person. He went through the primaries, and this was an unusual primary season on the GOP side. With 17 folks, many who had such big egos they wouldn't drop out, and it crowded the field to the end. And so here was a guy that knows how to use celebrity TV, is a celebrity TV figure, and frankly, the media gave him all kinds of free coverage, so he didn't have to go out and spend a ton of money. You're not going to have that again. You're not going to have a reality TV star like Donald Trump doing that.
I agree with that. I think you're going to have, in the future, more traditional styles. I wasn't talking about people following his style.
Sure, but the question was, is this a template for, the campaigns are going to run this way? You can't run that way ordinarily and ever get there. I mean, you just don't have that confluence of factors to get you to the finish line. And the other thing is they treated him with kid gloves for a long time, and they didn't, on the Republican side, and didn't go after him. And by that point in time, he just had destroyed them.
Well, some of them went off after him pretty heavily. George or Bush, and maybe too late, but they went after him pretty heavy-handed, and he went back after them. But I agree, we're not going to see this type of style because he's a unique candidate. But I do think, in terms of what I was talking about, in terms of the template, is you're going to see the parties going after a different group of voters with more energy. I do agree with Vince that both parties seem to be focusing on some of the same problems. That their approaches and policies are different, but we may disagree on the policies. But certainly both parties are now going after the minority vote. Both parties are going after the blue-collar vote. The Republicans historically have let some of those votes go because they just thought they couldn't get them. But I think you're going to see the Republican Party actively, as Donald Trump is, and you may disagree with his policies, but actively trying to create policies that go after that vote. And hopefully over a period of time, we'll be able to hack away at that vote.
Well, John, we're still trying to figure out what his stand is on some of the policies. Take immigration, for instance, where he makes one statement and then he flip-flops on it. And I know he's going to clarify later on this week, but we keep being told that Trump is changing tactics and focusing. But do you really see this happening?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, if I don't know how many speeches you've seen of his lately, but if you watch him over the past month, he's, number one, changed his style. And number two, he's talking about filling out some issues. And that's, we got to remember, Donald Trump is not a professional politician. People expect him to have the same style as professional politicians, and he's just not a professional politician. He's filling out his policies. He's made policy statements with regard to the black community. He's made clear policy statements with regard to that. He's made policy statements on national security, safety in our communities. And this week, he's going to make a major speech on immigration. His people are saying he's not flip-flopping, that what he's doing is filling in some of the blanks. We'll see.
But Vince, he's also tone deaf on a lot of issues.
Well, not only is he tone deaf, he's frankly, he's a loose cannon. He is a loose cannon that is unprincipled. Being president is extremely, probably the toughest job in America. Running for president is certainly just as hard. And you can't lay out this very xenophobic position the way he laid it out on immigration, the Mexicans coming across the border are murderers and rapists and so forth. And then once he realizes how tone deaf and how that comes across. Then he tries to, on national TV or at a meeting with Hannity, he starts developing policy while polling the audience. I mean, it is scary to think, well, he's literally developing policy while polling people that are sitting there in an audience. That is frightening to any party, whether you're a Republican hardline, whether you're a moderate Republican, whether you're libertarian. It's frightening not to have a principled person who's done the hard work, has their positions. This isn't a 180 or even a clearing of his positions. It's like a 360. It's like, you know, the exorcist head is turning around. Here.
Okay, briefly, John, before we go to break.
Yeah, wait a minute. Now, Hillary Clinton has changed her policies on things like the TPP, complete 100.
No doubt. One issue. That happened a long time ago. That happened the whole campaign. No, she's been on that side.
It happened just when she decided to run for president. But there are a number of issues where, you know, I frankly like politicians who think issues through. There's nothing wrong with that. And especially for people who haven't been professional politicians before. What do you expect? He's made major policy statements that he's stuck to.
Okay. This
on
is
a number of issues.
Okay, we'll get back to this. This looks like a good time to take a break. This is the Monday Political Face-Off with John Munger and Vince Arabago, and we will be back in just a couple of minutes.
This is Our House. It's the place where Arizona football lives. It's where the game is bigger, better, and live. Grab your friends, wear the colors, and cheer on the Wildcats while enjoying fireworks, food, and football action. Choose the games that fit your schedule. Many plans provide a great value starting at $46 for your choice of three games. Get your seats today. Call 621-CATS or visit OurHouseAZ.com. It's my house. It's your house. It's Our House.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off. You are listening to the Buckmaster Show. I am Dan Scheer, sitting in for Bill, and this segment is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and on Facebook and at moesgallery.com. We are with John Munger and Vince Robigo, and as always, if you'd like to join the discussion, you can call the KVOI live line at 790-2040, and in fact, we do have a caller on the line, Dan from Tucson. Dan, are you there?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Good show, yes. Someone made a comment a few minutes ago about the foolishness of Trump saying that there were in the illegals coming across there was many, many criminals and murderers and rapists and so forth, which I was reading an article last week to the effect that more than 30% of our criminals, felons in federal prisons, more than 30% are indeed illegal aliens. Now, what's his comment about that?
My comment wasn't about criminal aliens that are dangerous or violent criminals specifically. My comment was about the fact that it was a broad statement that Trump made that said Mexico is sending us their murderers and their rapists. And the reality is that there are not 11 million Mexican immigrants here that are all murderers and rapists.
No, that isn't what he said.
He did say it. I watched him say it, John, on TV.
Yes, but you're translating that.
I'm translating his words.
Let me finish.
Go ahead, but don't try to change what he says, because he said
that. You're translating his statement that Mexico is not sending us its best people, and that is correct.
Wait a minute.
They are sending us, as this gentleman has said, too many criminals. Mexicans, look, I Mexicans are fine.
That's not what he said. That's not what the gentleman just said, John. You're changing what Trump said, like what you changed
you
what the caller
the gentleman.
Just said.
You asked the gentleman.
You can repeat what he said.
Well, ask Dan what he just said.
He said I read an article that said, I think he said it was 30% of federal inmates are immigrants.
Illegal
immigrants. That's what he said. And now, you changed what he said, and you also changed what Trump said.
The point of what this gentleman said was that, and the point was that they are sending too many criminals, and that's what Trump said. Trump said they are not sending us their best people.
Let me respond to that.
Okay.
Every respected research institution that has studied immigration, those that are here unlawfully, has concluded that immigrant communities, by and large, are actually more law-abiding than your average pre-existing American community. That's a fact.
I don't disagree with that.
But what the generalizations that Trump has made, and saying that he's going to deport 11 million and we're going to start on day one.
Now that's a different
subject.
And then
he tries to switch his head around.
That's a different subject.
Now he goes back and forth.
How many we're going to deport is a different subject.
And my point is that you can't lead by there is no such thing as policy by tweet. There's no such thing as policy by doing the Hannity show.
Yeah, you're getting into a third subject.
Responsible Republicans, rather than people that are just trying to be an apologist like yourself, agree and understand with that.
I think any reasonable person agrees that Mexican is sending us a large number, along with the great people they send. They are sending us a lot of criminals.
Keep up with your outreach program in the
immigrant
and Hispanic community, John.
That's a fact.
We'll see what the votes look like
come
November.
That's what this gentleman was saying, and that's what Trump was saying.
Okay, despite how Donald Trump might be developing his policy, the fact is he's also creeping up in the polls. A couple of them were released over the weekend.
Right.
And Vince, are you a little surprised that Hillary Clinton's lead has been cut just by a couple of percentage points?
No, I'm not. And the reality is it's going to be a tight race all the way to finish line. I think anybody who thinks that it's not, and when you have a two horse race, in any sort of a situation, there's going to be these snapshot polls. And that's why both, you know, Hillary's folks and all folks that are supporting her need to get out and hit the pavement. You know, on another poll, which is traditionally, for example, a Republican-leaning poll, the Rasmussen poll, Trump was losing ground. But, I don't put too much stock on those. You have to get out the vote. And this kind of goes back to the template that you're talking about. Donald Trump doesn't have a real national organization. He doesn't have really an infrastructure where, in contrast, you see a more traditional boots on the ground, door to door, calling people, and you need that for a presidential campaign, and frankly, for any campaign, even these local races that you wanted to talk about.
Well, I think that the Republican Party, and the two parties don't operate the same, but the Republican Party has a sound boots on the ground effort, which they're going to lend to Trump, and I'm not worried about that. This election is going to come down to the debates. I mean, let's face it. I agree with Vince. It's going to be a very tight election. It's all going to come down to the debates.
But John, how do we take the polls? Do we just discard them at any point? Vince used the term snapshot. At any point, are they relevant and meaningful?
Sure, they're relevant in terms of trends. Absolutely, and Trump has been picking up. I saw polls in the last 4 days. They went from Trump being 1 point behind. There various polls at different times. One was 4 points behind, one was 3 points behind, one was two, and one was one. The point is, people were saying a couple weeks ago he was 7 to 10 points behind.
Right.
And now he's 1 to 4 points behind.
Okay, let's head back to the phones. We've got Matthew on the line from Tucson. Matthew, how are you?
Yeah, hey, John. Recently, Senator Jeff Flake, in referring to the presidential campaign and the Trump campaign, sort of made reference to the fact that only 1 in 5 people under the age of 35 is going to actually cast a ballot. And he used a term that was pretty important. He said that the Republican Party may be on a march to oblivion if it doesn't address that issue. Any thoughts about that? Thank you.
Well, I think that there's the old saying, if you aren't a leftist when you're young, you have no heart, and if you aren't a conservative when you're older, you have no brains. So there's, you know, yeah, I think a lot of the millennials and the younger people are leaning to the left. Whether they vote, I don't know. It's always going to be hard for a conservative party to get their vote. I don't know if they're going to vote or not. What I do know is that the polls are showing what they show, and that's that the race is tightening extremely. I'm not here to tell you that Trump is going to get all the votes of the millennials or the young people. You know, they haven't had enough life experience yet in many cases to know anything more than what their leftist professor told them in college, and that's a problem. The Republican Party and the conservative movement hasn't done a good job of playing a role in the education of our young people. We've kind of conceded that to the left, and that's not been a good thing.
You know what? That's just bunk. I went to the University of Arizona. I went to a conservative law school, and I didn't have ideologically professors that were pushing me one way or the other. So this sort of trope that, they're all brainwashing, it's just bunk. And then at the same time, you cast a wide aspersion to anybody who's not conservative and say they have no brains. That's the problem, John, with this sort of so stuck in the sand that you just cast insults and cast these wide generalizations. That doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help Republicans. It doesn't help Democrats. It doesn't help Libertarians. There's a lot of people out there that are well-meaning, well-intended, thinking individuals that are making their rational choice not to support Trump.
But Vince, there's a lot more people who aren't. I think that was the point of the callers, that look at the 2014 voter turnout, the lowest in 72 years. We definitely have a problem. Let's go to the phones for Laura. Go ahead with your question.
Hello, I'm calling in on the immigration situation, and I'd like to say that neither the Republicans nor the Democrats are doing what we need to have done, and that is to help to change the situation in Mexico. Nobody could expect anything other than what we have now if we continue to allow the conditions that exist in Mexico and South America to go on. People will forever want to come over our borders. The first person who comes up with a plan to do that is got my vote.
Okay, Laura, good point. I want to ask Vince real quickly. How do we reach over and change things in Mexico, and would it really have an effect on what's going on here?
Well, I think certainly economic policies, those sorts of issues. I think, for example, one time, you're talking about people that do change their minds. At one time, I had backed NAFTA. I think the results were not good, both for aspects of our economy and certainly not for the agrarian-based, corn farmers in Mexico, and obliterated their economic mainstay, caused more migration. So that's why a lot of people are concerned when they hear, let's push this free trade. You know what, my economics teacher, the old Ten Stoffel, there ain't no such thing as a free lunch. Nothing is free. There's always trade-offs. So she makes a very good point. You can't go in and just change somebody's economy, but certainly those are very valid points. And also, you go even further. We're talking about war-torn areas, conflicts that policies have led to, whether you're talking about Nicaragua or these other places. She makes some very salient points. There are other drivers that people are going to keep wanting to escape from, whether it's poverty or violence, and those need to be addressed.
Yeah, I agree with that. I want to add, she's got an excellent point that we need to do everything we can to assist Mexico and the other countries south of us to succeed. The good news is that Mexico's economy is frankly much more vibrant than our economy. If you look at what's going on in Hermosillo, just south of us, they've got major plants going on, major employers coming in, much larger than our employers. So there are some very good things happening, but she's right. We need to do what we can to help.
Okay, we are going to wrap it up for this week's Monday Political Face-Off. I'd like to thank John Munger and Vince Robigo. Always a pleasure and always interesting. Both of you are well-prepared and know what you're talking about. When we come back, we'll be joined by Joseph Garcia of the Morrison Institute for Public Policy, which is always heavily involved in the election process. We will be right back.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Every year, eager travelers journey to Europe to experience the Yuletide season at its very best. With the glittering backdrop of winter white hilltops and extravagantly decorated cities, get swept up in the enchantment that's in the air. Let's not forget the most magical part of all, Europe's famous Christmas markets, renowned for their festive atmosphere, great food and drink, and handcrafted gifts. Experience the magic of the holidays aboard an Ama Waterways river cruise. Call Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Christmas market cruise and save up to 40%. Bon Voyage Travel, 797-1110.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. The Buckmaster Show features Arizona newsmakers and more than two dozen Buckmaster Show contributors. Everything from foreign affairs to the arts is on the table and open for discussion and your calls. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI. Also on my website, buckmastershow.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Scheer, sitting in for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster. I'm joined on the phone by my old college buddy, Joe Garcia. He is the Director of Communication and Community Impact, as well as the Director of the Latino Public Policy Center at the Morrison Institute in Phoenix. If any of our listeners would like to join the discussion, we'd love to hear from you on the KVOI live line at 790-2040. Well, Joe, hot, crowded, everybody living on top of each other. How is Phoenix these days?
Well, that's the way we like it.
Do you really like it? Because I know you're a Tucson guy. You love it down here.
Yeah, Tucson's great. You know, you guys need to fix the roads. And as soon as you do that, I think you guys might have a step up. But it's a long time coming on that.
Oh, we hope that it'll get taken care of after this election. And if you've got an extra $500 million laying around, just send it our way. Before we get into anything here, tell us about the work of the Morrison Institute and how we can find out more about them.
Yeah, Morrison Institute for Public Policy is a think tank here at Arizona State University. We've been around, next year will be our 35th year. We're nonpartisan, and we really mean that. Everybody says that, but we really mean that. In fact, on our advisory board includes both a Republican and a Democrat legislator, and that's in our bylaws, and always in our advisory committees we have Republicans, Democrats, independents, and everything in between and outside. So we really do try to bring people to the table with diverse backgrounds, education levels, thoughts. We just think that including more people really can make a difference when we're talking about policy.
Great. What's the website?
Website's pretty easy. We kept it easy for you people like you, Dan. It's morrisoninstitute.asu.edu.
Okay, I'm going to have trouble typing ASU, but I think I can probably struggle my way through it. And actually, I am on there quite a bit and really enjoy some of the reports that are out there, the directions, the approach that you take to a lot of the issues. And we're going to talk here in a couple of minutes about one of the projects you guys are working on. But right now, every election cycle, we hear about the Latino vote, the African-American vote, women's vote, young people's vote, but it never seems to materialize as heavily as predicted. Are you seeing anything different in 2016?
Well, you know, I get asked that question every time election rolls around, and you know, the answer that I give isn't always the most popular one, because Latinos are largely a young population. I'll give you an idea, the median age for Latinos in Arizona is 25. Median age for non-Latino whites is 44. So a young population that's coming into its own, there's a large number of Latinos who still have to go through the maturation process until they reach 18. And that's true nationwide, by the way. But something to keep in mind is every month for the next two decades, 50,000 Latinos are going to be turning 18 and therefore eligible to vote. Every month. So that's hard. Wow. That's hard to imagine. So yeah, it's waves upon waves upon waves of young Latinos who are becoming old enough to vote. And they all can vote because virtually all of them are U.S. citizens. Unlike a lot of adult Latinos, about a third of the population cannot vote because they aren't U.S. citizens.
I think there's an assumption that Latinos vote as a block, meaning, you know, they're all going to go the same way. And that's simply isn't the case. I mean, what have you guys found in some of your the numbers that you've been crunching? I mean, they tend to vote Democratic, but not always.
Yeah, we did a report a few years back. It's on our website, Arizona's Emerging Latino Vote. We did see certain in the future, just forecasting on straight line projections of Arizona possibly changing from a conservative red state to a more progressive blue state in 2030. 2030, by the way, happens to also be the same year when it's estimated that Arizona will be the minority-majority state.
Right.
That'll happen in 2040 for the United States, so we're early here in Arizona. But you're right. I mean, if you look at it, oftentimes Latinos match up very, very nicely and comfortably with many of the Republicans' platforms, especially when it comes to family and faith and military service and entrepreneurship and small businesses, patriotism. I mean, very nicely. The deal breaker seems to come when you get to that immigration box. And when you hit the immigration box, sometimes that is a deal breaker when it comes to many Latinos, because the Latinos seem to look at that policy and they take it personally, because they may know somebody. It could be a family member, it could be a coworker, or it could be a neighbor that could face deportation even though they'd been here for a while. So, you know, that seems to be that if Republicans ever looked at immigration in a different way, I think Republicans could pick up a lot of more Latino voters.
Very good. Let me read a line from a Cronkite News story that quotes you. And Cronkite News Service is the Arizona State University Journalism Department. It's students writing these stories, and it's a terrific news service. It says, more than 60% of the nation's Latinos have a high school education or less, and almost a quarter live in poverty. Voters who are young, poor, and less educated don't vote in large numbers, according to you. Quoted in this story. Why is that? Why are the less educated people less likely to vote?
Well, they're less likely to be engaged in their community. They're pretty much engaged in survival skills.
Sure.
Move around a lot, apartment to apartment, job to job. I mean, when you're kind of disenfranchised and disaffected, you're not connected with community. Your politics don't mean anything to you when you're just trying to get by, you know, week to week. But you know, that goes across all racial and ethnic lines. Of course, is, you know, the poor people don't vote. People who don't have a higher education largely don't vote, and young people don't vote. And unfortunately, Latinos fall into all three of those buckets. So there's the challenge. It's not always people think it's a cultural thing, or maybe there's a language barrier, but really it's just that it's kind of the negative trifecta, if you will, that Latinos have hit on that one. So it's really hard sometimes to get out the vote. But, you know, I mean, poor people don't vote because they can't relate with it, or they don't have an address, and they don't keep up with the times.
And it's a lot of stuff that a lot of us just don't even think about, because it's not an issue in our lives, like you say, moving place to place and just trying to keep your head above water. But it comes off looking to those of us who do vote as if they are ignorant on the issues, as if they don't, they're not really connected to their communities, as you say, or that they just find politics not relevant to their lives.
Yeah, it costs absolutely nothing to vote, as you know. It's free, and I think that's great.
Yes.
And it costs a lot of money to smoke cigarettes. A lot of intelligent people with great educations and good jobs choose to smoke and spend a lot of money when the air is free. So, yeah, for me to explain all the logic behind that, Dan, we could be here all day.
Very good. But you know what? The minorities aside, we all have a turnout problem, and we talked about it just a little bit with Vince Robigo earlier. A 2014 review of the midterm elections by the New York Times showed that it was the worst nationwide turnout in 72 years, averaging 36.2%. Arizona was below the average at 34% turnout, and no state cracked 60%. The problem is really widespread. We tend to chunk it up into these groups, but really, no one's going out to vote. There's our issue.
Well, presidential years are different, as you
sure
know, than the midterm. So a lot more people show out when it comes to the presidential race, and you know that can be the difference of 20 upwards of 30% difference in the voter turnout on presidential years. So I don't think we're going to have a low voter turnout. I really don't on this one, even though we have at the top of the ticket who have been said to be the two most unpopular major party candidates. I think people will vote this election. If nothing else, I think there's that Supreme Court nomination process that's going to be really emphasized coming up here. And the immigration one, I think, will drive a lot of people to the polls. There's some interesting Senate races, of course, and then there's the ballot issues of, you know, minimum wage and marijuana here in Arizona.
You know, I was talking to our editors down at the Nogales International right there on the border, and, you know, they've got, you know, dozens of races involving probably like 100 candidates. I mean, this is a big year. People are going to be engaged at some point. So you're right. The turnout certainly is going to go up. Okay, we're going to take a quick break here. We'll be right back with Joe Garcia of the Morrison Institute for Public Policy.
This is Our House. It's the place where Arizona football lives. It's where the game is bigger, better, and live. Grab your friends, wear the colors, and cheer on the Wildcats while enjoying fireworks, food, and football action. Choose the games that fit your schedule. Many plans provide a great value starting at $46 for your choice of three games. Get your seats today. Call 621-CATS or visit OurHouseAZ.com. It's my house. It's your house. It's Our House.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm a passionate traveler visiting more than 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With five airlines flying to 18 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We have an entire section devoted to the Old West and its heritage. Contributors include Wyatt Earp historian Scott Dyke and Hiking Apacheria's Jerry Egan. We also look back at Old West newspapers and feature a column, This Day in Old West History. It is Old West News from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shear, sitting in for Bill, and this segment of the show is presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. So much to do in Silver City and Grant County, like exploring historic downtown Silver City or visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. For a complete listing of the many things to do and great places to visit, go to southwestnewmexico.org. Find all that information. I am with Joe Garcia, who's the director of Latino Public Policy Center at the Morrison Institute in Phoenix, and we're talking about the election this year, voter turnout, what is getting people's attention and what isn't. Joe, and I think I pulled this off of a report on your website, and I want to get your reaction to it. It says the National Association of Latino Elected Officials projects 13.1 million Latino voters will cast ballots this November, which is a 17% increase from the last presidential election, but it's still less than half of the eligible voters. You mentioned earlier that obviously we're in kind of a unique situation here with the two candidates, and that certainly is gathering a lot of attention, but would you attribute all of that increase or that expected increase of 17% to that, or are Latinos just becoming naturally more engaged?
I think there's a change in the way Latinos are looking at their country. I think, you know, and I hate to be, you know, kind of a real broad brush because, you know, Latinos don't vote as a block, and they're certainly not, you know, all Latinos are the same. You know, very different people, very different upbringings, you know, even different levels of citizenship and longevity in this country. Some were here in the Southwest before this was the United States country. It's kind of hard to do broad brush, but right. I think what it comes down to, I think the younger generation for Latinos are more engaged. But I also, that doesn't mean they vote accordingly, but there is something happening in this nation. And I think even with the independent movement, I think we get caught up sometimes in the independent voters, people who choose to be independent or just don't belong to either party, either major party, number one party here in Arizona, as you know, and growing.
Very good. Right.
But there's an independent movement, independent thought, if you will, even within the two parties. And if you look at that, with the Democrats, it manifested itself through Bernie Sanders, who came out of nowhere, who wasn't even a Democrat, came out of nowhere and took on Hillary Clinton, perhaps one of the most famous people in the world, perhaps one of the most famous women, no doubt about that. And the same happened with Trump, who took down, you know, establishment candidate after candidate after candidate on the GOP side. So there's something that's going on with politics that's dealing with the independent and independent thinking, not necessarily independent voters. And for the Democratic side, it was dealing largely with millennials. And when you're talking about millennials, you're probably talking about those are the new Latino voters. That's who it's making up. It's the young voters that are coming up to the ranks. So, you know, there's a lot of dynamics in there, and I think it's important to kind of understand that, you know, I mean, you know, we're always trying to look for the one thing that is changing in politics to kind of explain the chaos. I think, but the chaos kind of explains where we are. I mean, politics is always in chaos because it's always in change. And things that we're talking about today are things that, you know, you think we would have addressed years ago. I mean, who would have thought we'd be talking about legalization of marijuana in the year 2016? I mean, those who've been around a while thought we would have solved that in 1970. I mean, you know, those are kind of the marijuana years, if you will. But, you know, I mean, that's what we're talking about today. But then at the same time, who'd have thought 10, 15 years ago we'd even be having, you'd even have gay marriage nationwide? Nobody saw that coming. So chaos is kind of the constant of politics because it is the constant of society.
And then you have to throw in there the whole social media angle of it and how that very quickly develops opinion and it's out there immediately, and then people tend to react. So we see a lot of reaction going on. And the Bernie Sanders thing is very interesting, you know, somewhat anti-establishment, but at least the people looking at Bernie Sanders still intended to vote. Other people, I think, young people, Latinos, whoever, just are now going to kind of check out because they just feel, I guess, separate from the system, like they're not part of it.
Yeah, we're doing a study right now, and it's also in conjunction with some polling, but it's looking at the social communities that we build, and it comes down to trust and where do we get our information and who do we trust. And, you know, and it's different where it used to be everyone turned to the mainstream traditional media to kind of understand the world a little bit more, but it's not that way anymore. I mean, sometimes we know more about our friends on Facebook, where they stand politically, than we do our own, you know, family and friends and neighbors. So, and then it gets down to who we trust. Do we lose friends on Facebook? Do we, you know, follow Twitter? Is that where we're getting our news? And it's kind of interesting how all that's taking place. So we're looking at that whole new process of a new construct, if you will, of a democracy with new expectations of the electorate towards elected officials, a new way of looking at elections in general. And that's going to be our focus of our State of Our State conference coming up on November 16 here in Phoenix. And we have some great speakers and different people from around the country coming in, as well as here in Arizona, to kind of look at this whole new process. And it'll be after the election, so there'll be kind of a very quick, you know, autopsy of, you know, what happened, but also kind of an understanding that, you know, this is not the Oldsmobile commercial used to have. This is not your grandfather's Oldsmobile. It was the same thing with elections. It's not like anyone ever, you know, saw it even just 2 years ago. It's
changed. I think everything has changed. We've got about 3 minutes left, and I want to get into something you referenced earlier. In November, voters are going to be asked to decide on Prop 205, which would legalize consumption and possession, within limits, of course, of marijuana for those 21 and older. In effect, it's approval for recreational marijuana, much like what happened in Colorado about 2.5 years ago. The Morrison Institute took a close look at this during what it calls a citizens initiative review. Tell us about how that review is done and when we're going to get the results of this.
Yeah, it took place a couple of weekends ago, and over 4 days we brought together 22 Arizonans from different walks of life, education levels, parties, ages, regions, every congressional district here in Arizona, and they studied the marijuana initiative. We had the pro and the con sides, from the campaigns, and we also had neutral experts, and they talked. And it's kind of like a trial somewhat, in that there's the deliberation. There just is not the final verdict at the end. Instead, the citizens give the pros and the cons in everyday language, so it's kind of voter talking to voter, on what they think is important that voters should know, you know, both the pro and the con. And we're looking forward to releasing that. Out of respect for the legal process, because there has been a legal challenge, as you know, we're waiting for that to be settled before we put anything out on that, because we don't want to influence that, and certainly don't want to be a part of the legal case.
Right.
But we're told that could come out towards, you know, just basically towards the end of this week, that there could be a decision on that. So, you know, when that comes out, we should be able to, you know, find a time to release that and see what the citizens say. But it's a very interesting process. You can learn more on the website. But it's the whole idea of you have to have an engaged democracy. Voting itself is great, but is not define democracy. You know, democracy is about education, knowing what you're voting on. It's about engagement too, becoming involved. What's important of the issues. So in other words, it's politics in action. It's policy in action. And that's what this is about. It's a voter education, voter engagement project.
And about a year ago, I went to a presentation on a citizens initiative review and how it was rolled out and what your plans were for 2016, the Morrison Institute. And a terrific process to go through as we take issues and pull them apart. And then you kind of, in a sense, you make them your own. And then, again, like you say, they don't necessarily come to those conclusions, but the reports are on the website and give people some direction, some information as they move forward toward the ballot box.
Yeah, and this exercise is just one layer of what we try to do. We also do our traditional understanding Arizona's propositions, which is our policy analysts look at it and give the pros and the cons as well. So this is just another layer of trying to reach out to voters, giving them some information that they can trust, but trusting them to make the right decision. We do not try to push them one way or the other. We can't by law, but we wouldn't want to do that anyway, because, you know, Arizona's voters have proven when they have all the information, they do make some pretty good decisions.
Very good. Well, we are looking forward to a fascinating election season. It all starts tomorrow. with the returns coming in from the primary. I want to thank Joseph Garcia with the Morrison Institute of Public Policy for being with us. Joe, give us the website one more time if people want to follow up on our conversation with more information.
Yeah, Dan, I hope you're writing this down, because we made it simple for people just like you. It's morrisoninstitute.asu.edu. And like you said, I know it's that ASU part that you just can't get over that.
That's going to be tough, man. Okay, thank you for being here, Joe. We will talk to you later on, man.
All right, thank you, Dan.
Okay, we want to remind you of our friends at Green Things, located at 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of Brady Fenton Park. Check out Green Things on 13 acres for all your gardening and green things. For more, visit greenthings.com. And that is going to wrap up this edition of the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shear, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, sitting in for Bill Buckmaster, who's on vacation all week. So he's going to have various people in here. I'm going to be back on Friday as we pour over the election results with Jim Small of the Arizona Capital Times. Until then, I hope you have a great rest of your Monday. And remember, check out the podcast and everything else at buckmastershow.com. Lots of information there. Thanks. Have a great Monday.